Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we've got such delightful, delightful things to share with you today. And one of them is involving creativity, and there are so many ways of expressing creativity, and it is a part of life that we should all indulge in. We always talk about indulging with sweets or chocolate. Well, why not indulge in something that won't put any calories into your life, but enrich it and make it so much sweeter because you are a part of it? What is that? That, again, is creativity. And my guest today is David L. Wilson. We're going to be talking about this wonderful book called Open Your Heart with Art, Mastering Life Through the Love of Everyday Creativity. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you very kindly, Donna.
Now, David, you are a man who has had a passion for art so much of your life, and I would like my listeners to know a little bit about you. You started when you were a kid, and there was an art teacher when you were in school that said, "You have talent, David." Now, your mom, you came by it honestly, because your mom was an artist, a poet, very much involved in crafts, and when she found out how the teacher felt about you, she said, "This kid's going to have advantages," and she gave you private art and music lessons. So you grew with that, and you participated, not just art, you got into theatrical productions, you worked on stage as an actor, you also did a lot of what someone might call the grunt work. You just really got involved with it. You've worked as a stuntman, and you have been an extra in many of the various television dramas, series of Prison Break. You are also a professional writer. You've done sports writing. You have done internet writing. You've been in martial arts magazines. You work as a designer and buyer with Lula's Jewelry and More, which is your family's jewelry and crafts business. You're interested in archaeology, astrology, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, feng shui, Sumerian language. You've designed your own tarot card decks, and you're going to be, if you've not already done it, a forensic expert of a movie role. Ray, it's an independent film called Leviathan. Gee, what do you do when you're bored, David?
Well, one of my passions when I'm bored is I work on health-related things, health and wellness. One of my major projects currently is dealing with brain health and wellness. And so that's one of the things that I do when I'm bored.
Well, I like the way the book starts out because immediately right at the front is a dedication. And I think that this is so significant, I want to read it word for word. This is how the dedication of this wonderful book, Open Your Heart with Art, Mastering Life Through Love of Everyday Creativity, reads: "I would like to dedicate this book to every grain of sand, every droplet of water, every particle of universal energy. I dedicate this to you, all who play a vital part in connectedness. We are all on this globe, individually journeying together because of you. Although we have yet to meet directly, please accept this small offering that you may know your opportunities for growth have been noticed and enjoyed." What a wonderful way to open up the book. And then there's another quote: "Art is much less important than life, but oh, what a poor life without it." Who gave that quote?
That would have been, let's think here for a second, because that is such an important aspect in life that that would have been, I guess, Robert Motherwell, who was a turn-of-the-century artist, and he worked a lot with actually more folk work than what would be considered fine art today.
David, you obviously have had such a rich life, not only because of your mother's love and passion for the arts and the willingness on her part to say, I want my son to expand, to be able to develop his own potential to the greatness that I feel someone else is seeing in him and that I want him to experience. What would you say to parents out there that have children that like to do doodling or are of a mindset where they have these exquisitely vivid imaginations? Children don't have boundaries. What would you say to a parent who maybe is sort of, well, that's not practical in their attitude about the child yearning to be creative? What would you say to that parent?
Well, quite honestly, the short answer is to allow time for creativity to happen. And as that creativity happens, over time, the interest of that person, that child, can continue to grow. So if that interest is nurtured and time is allowed for creativity to develop and to explore that creativity, it can actually be an inclusive process that the parent can be part of that rather than separate from that. I'm sorry, please continue.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to say the longer answer is, well, without being insincere, that creativity can be encouraged. I would say that the parent observing that creative energy just to allow it time to grow, basically.
I can recall when my daughter was very small, having read somewhere that if you are working with children and you want to know what their feelings are, to hand them colors, crayons, finger paints, whatever, and just give them a statement of some kind. How do you feel? You know, just use the colors that are your favorite colors. What is it you're feeling right now? And I can remember in doing this experiment with my daughter, when there was a particular time in our life, she was using very, very dark colors. And then as soon as circumstances changed, she reverted to brighter colors. Art therapy, I think, has always been something that is extremely valuable. And your book goes into so many wonderful different aspects of art expression. But I wanted to touch on that because children, many times, if parents are aware, will be, you can read the kids by what they're drawing.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had an experience like that with children or adults, for that matter?
Well, you know, one of the things, and I'm glad that you mentioned art therapy, Donna, really, because there are several aspects to the concept of art. One of those approaches is the professional aspect, where an individual is trying to either convey a message or something like what we would find familiar in advertising or marketing, is where that creativity is channeled with a specific goal in mind. But the art therapy that you mentioned, where a child would have been working with darker colors and then circumstances changing and their brighter colors, that's more of an art as a therapeutic device to unlock energies, and that if the parent, like you said, is being observant, they can then pick up those subtleties in their child. And I think that's exactly an excellent observation. And yes, I have had experiences having siblings to observe different views on how those energies are conveyed. If say a line is really rough and jagged, or versus a smooth arcing line, or if the image is dark, that's something that the person is perhaps exercising or going through. The astute observer of that will see those changes and can either observe them, they can interject, they can direct that energy in a number of ways. So yes, but that form of therapeutic cleansing is a lot different than, say, something that is used in a hospital environment to, say, soothe someone that has a bruised ankle and you have a picture of a waterfall, and that will help the person to actually heal. That's a different type of device, and that in terms of phraseology might be art as a therapy versus art therapy, which is typically viewed as the person cleansing or doing the work of self.
You have a number of very famous people, artists of different applications in your book, and one of them is Steven Zuckerman, and you even have his website in here, and that's what I like. You are very eclectic in this publication. You're not just dealing with oil paintings or anything and just what we'd consider the typical frame of expectation with art. It's not that at all. In fact, you have opened up to a level of investigation and trying to stimulate the curiosity and the creativity of someone that would pick up this book, which I think is marvelous. Let's talk about Steven Zuckerman. He is an entertainment promoter and a Grammy Award-winning producer, and sound is another form of creative expression. Of course, all of us know that music is one of the most magnificent creative tools you can be involved with. Tell us a little bit about your interview with Steven Zuckerman.
Well, Steven and I have continued a friendship that actually grew out of the interview. But Steven is involved in media and what he likes to term as a media revolution, where TAL, Total Access Live, is actually synergizing a number of these media-related aspects. And one of his underlying goals is to explore and elevate consciousness through his TotalAccessLive.com website by having media content of substance. And he's a wonderful person. Not enough people know that Steve also is really, really an exquisite musician and piano player, a pianist. And he's just fantastic. He's a lot of fun. It was really an interesting experience to interview him because of the nature of the work that he deals with in a professional sense, meaning a producer, a promoter. That's a different type of energy from what I tended or have experienced in the past as a person that works around entertainment quite a bit.
You bring out something that I think is a lot of fun, and that is that being artistic, when you start using your creativity, when you start exploring, which is what children will do quite naturally. Steven Zuckerman, he started pounding on a piano at the age of 2, and you know it didn't sound too good to anybody's ears when he was pounding. However, somebody paid attention and said, wow, he's picking up anything and everything that makes sounds, and they paid attention to that, and he was supported in that, much like your mother supported you with your art. But sometimes when we're exploring our creativity, especially if we're adults and we haven't allowed ourselves to play, we step out of our box. And I love what you have in your book. You said, you've got to be aware that people are going to think you're really weird many times. And they're going to say, what do you mean you got candles in the freezer? What? Why is it that you've decided to put bread dough somewhere? Didn't they? I mean, you, when you're doing things that are creative, you may bring stuff outside from nature, or you may take old pieces of fabric that maybe you have in an outfit and decide to cut it up. Someone says, what are you cutting up a perfectly good dress or jacket for? And you say, well, I'm going to do this collage. This is really something that can be a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, I think sometimes it's fun to be weird.
Well, you know, that's weird is a beautiful thing. That's whenever you hear the word weird, you know that you're pushing the envelope to whatever the local mythology or your local environment is considering mainstream. So
that's good. Mapping creativity is something that you bring out in your book. What do you mean by mapping creativity?
One of the things that I meant in that as a particular sentence is really to help us objectivize our life experience. And I think it's, in that example, I give an illustration of printing out a map, basically showing your route to or from whatever your activities are for the week. So you have to make a map that's large enough to include that, and tracing back and forth with a pencil or pen or whatever those routes and the number of times that it's experienced. And you may do this for, you know, one map would represent a week's time, another map might represent a month, and another map might represent, say, 3 months or something. And each time that you're drawing a line is representing a day. Not very creative, right? You know, it's a pretty standard activity, making lines back and forth. But we get to see what our we get to more objectivize our experience and begin to see, well, gee, I'm traveling my daily walk this way, or I go to work following the same route with consistency. And we can then objectivize that experience and break outside of that through having concreted that experience through mapping one's creativity. We can see that there are certain things that we do that we're thinking are creative, but then by objectivizing, we can then break away from that should we choose to and make a departure. Maybe I'll take a different route, or maybe I'll explore things a little differently and learn new things about my experience in consciousness.
Diversity is absolutely necessary in art. This would be the most uninteresting world if everything looked the same. Mother Nature doesn't have everything the same. And I think she provides us with a wonderful, wonderful arena of choices to work from. Diversity sometimes, depending on what working environment you might be in, might be frowned upon. How can someone break out of their confined boundaries of self-belief about their own artistic capabilities? How can someone do that?
Well, the way that Thomas Chomsky would say that. Tom is a wonderful sculptor, internationally known sculptor. In fact, his works are very recognized in Japan. Typically, one of the things that we do is we observe the work of others, give time to allow, again, it comes back to giving time to allow creativity a chance, an opportunity to develop. And I think that's ultimately where that comes from. And, you know, Tom speaks of things patinaing with age, and that it, as a juxtaposition to some cultures, time is viewed as a critical item that can be monetized, you know, time is money kind of thing, whereas in other cultures, time is revered. And by allowing time, the patina of age, the wabi-sabi, you know, you can allow growth and transition to resonate in the core of one's being.
There's, again, so much in your book, and the title of it is Open Your Heart with Art, Mastering Life Through the Love of Everyday Creativity. Colors are so important, and I've always found the study of colors wonderful because it can give you such an insight into people, into yourself, into life. And I know many years ago someone once said to me, if you want to really have a good understanding of colors, study nature, because all of the various shades with the seasons, it's like this year we have all this vibrancy of color that's just pushing itself up out of a very dark, grayish earth that's been covered with snow and it looks rather dull and uninteresting. And here we've got these wonderful splashes of color that are coming up, and they're so vibrant and so alive, and the shades are unending. Color, how do you work with color? What do you feel about color?
Well, you know, again, color, and like you stated, it's Mother Nature never gets it wrong. And quite honestly, what I would say regarding a person that's beginning with color and to work with that is just let yourself explore from a feeling standpoint rather than to overly concern oneself with theoretical things. And that's partially why the book is, as you stated, more eclectic, is that the goal is to encourage growth and interest and opening rather than burdening somebody with a bunch of color theory, although I do include that to a modest extent. But it's really about just freeing yourself and in exploration of things. So if you find it, in some ways, if you find that you're drawn to, say, brighter colors, and that could be, you know, a wonderful thing in terms of your experience, as well as if you prefer more muted colors. Although, you know, if I were to say what, you know, well, studies have shown that over time people tend to prefer more muted colors as they grow, and if you're going to do some decorating for someone else, then your chances of creating an environment that will work well for them is to utilize pastels, because more people would like pastels than, say, a very saturated color. But on a personal level, it's really about exploration and really digging and finding those things that resonate well with you that extend from nature.
Well, the artistic form really applies with your sister, Lisa. She's another one, but I love the way you described your sister. She's a natural-born feel-good diva. So she has an attitude, and it's really a pretty good attitude. And you said from the time she was a baby, she was doing everything from mixing hand soaps into some liquid concoction to cutting the hair of her numerous Barbie dolls. And she's now involved in cosmetology, very much so. And she said, you know, she's really into grooming and, you know, working with the hair and all kinds of things. Her creativity has evolved into the area of beauty and hair design and this type of thing. And again, it's not limited. It's absolutely not limited. And one of the aspects that I really like that in your book, not only because it's so eclectic, but for those that want to start drawing, for those of you that are listening that have always wanted to explore something, I love what you said, and you said, start out with what you've got around you. If you've got paper bags, cut up the paper bags. Use them as drawing paper. And try to draw big. Don't worry about doing everything perfectly. Just start.
That's it exactly. You know, it is just to really just begin with right where you are with what you have. You don't need to go out and buy colored pencils. Although, should you choose to, there's advice in terms of how to get started. And, of course, the obvious answer is you always would want to utilize the best materials that you can afford. But that's really not as important as beginning. When I was in art school, many moons ago, I was without a lot of financial means, and one of the things that I would do, of course, being in art school, the Art Institute of Chicago, is I would tour around to various bathrooms and collect up the rolls of paper, and that's how I was able to do my drawings for my classes, because I just really didn't have the financial means putting myself through the schooling at that time. So you want to develop that creative edge and utilize creativity to go forward. And that's, you know, that is essentially the core of why one begin where you are. And yes, you do want to paint large or draw large if that's possible. But if you're not feeling that at the time, then that's not as important as starting. You know, one doodle can keep growing and growing and growing until you have a masterpiece.
You have a quote that is by Khalil Gibran, who's one of my favorite writers. Art arises when the secret vision of the artist and the manifestation of nature agree to find new shapes. And that's what's so wonderful about art. I think it's absolutely delightful when you can go to an art exhibit with some friends and every one of you has a different perspective of what you're looking at. There will be one looking at a piece of art saying that's the biggest piece of garbage I've ever seen in my whole life. I wouldn't even give you a plug nickel for it. Someone else will say it's the most exquisite light I've ever seen. Can you see all the different angles? And then someone else will give you a philosophical interpretation of it. It's just amazing how we all see things differently. And that's what art is all about.
Well, yes, that and then the community aspect that you've hinted at by the discussing the various things that one might see, you know, is that it's really a chance to find individuality, yet express that individuality, but in a collective environment, or to let something resonate with you personally. For example, the artist that's painting or drawing or whatever, doing the creativity, they're not overly concerned with the product itself in terms of how the viewer is going to be impacted with that, unless, of course, it's in the context of an advertisement or something like that. But really, the artist is focusing on what it is that they're conveying, and that's really the essence. And then, of course, over time, we can view the work of that artist and say, okay, well, there's a progression or there's a transition. There might have been something going on, and we want to dig into that person's life to find what was going on that caused Picasso's Blue Period, for example. And we can dig to unearth that. But the viewers can look at something, like you're pointing out, and see all of these wonderful different aspects and then share that with each other. And that's really a wonderful extension of the art product itself, is the community.
It is. It's wonderful. And I agree with the community aspect of it also. And speaking of that, you have so many references for people to utilize in your book, Open Your Heart with Art. You've got all kinds of books that are listed, art therapy related links. You have got different organizations. One in particular that was really very significant was, let me see if I can find it here. There was this, the Traditional Fine Arts Organization, which is www.tfaoi.org, tfaoi.org. That's the Traditional Fine Arts Organization. David, do you have a website that people can go to?
The website that people can go to would be the Dreamtime Publishing website. That's dreamtimepublishing.com. And they can, they'll find an opportunity to take the direction of one of the artists or whatever, and then continue that further.
Absolutely. This is a marvelous book. If you have a child that has artistic tendencies, if you're wanting to open up your life to a whole new level of expression, whether it's working with pottery, paper, oils, dirt in your backyard, I don't care what it is, know that there's a place for it in your life, and it's something you should be delighted with. It's something you should enjoy because it's going to be fulfilling, a part of this creative self. David Wilson has been my guest. His book is Open Your Heart with Art, Mastering Life Through Love of Everyday Creativity. David, thank you so very much for being my guest today.
Donna, thank you very kindly for having me.
It's been a pleasure. Again, his book, Open Your Heart with Art, Mastering Life Through Love of Everyday Creativity. David Wilson is the author of this book, and you can go to dreamtimepublishing.com. Now, we're going to be taking a break for a moment. Don't you go away. More good things to share, including chocolate. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a bit.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to give me a buzz and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers to call in to if you're in the U.S., 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And from Canada, the telephone number will be 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. And also our direct line of 530-876-3222. Now, I do want to let you know about my guest coming up. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Risa Brown, and it's about kids. The book is titled The Call to Brilliance. I love this book. This is a book that I think should be in every parent's library. But more than that, it is a book that I think when you read it, you realize that you have a chance for your own brilliance as well. It's marvelously done. I really appreciate what Risa's done. So we're going to be talking with her tomorrow. And on Friday, I'm going to be appearing at the Women's Show. Don't forget, for those of you in Washington, the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th, that's this entire weekend, we're going to be having this fabulous, fabulous event for women that is just absolutely incredible. I invite you to come out. My booth number is 406, and so you can come out and you can say hello to me. I'd love to meet you. My guest is going to be Richard Smith on Friday, and so we will be talking with Richard on that afternoon about real estate and various things related to that, and then afterwards, there will be a tape section of the show because I have to go and give a talk at the Women's Show. And I'm going to be speaking at around 11 o'clock on Saturday and also about 1 o'clock on Sunday. And the schedules for speaking will be in the programs that you receive at the Women's Show. So I've just got really a power-packed weekend, and I'm looking forward to meeting many of you who are listening in the state of Washington. Don't forget, the Women's Show is at Quest Field in Seattle. Oodles of parking. Just plan on being there when the doors open and just know you've got to have comfortable shoes on. Your feet will be killing you if you don't. So make sure that you do that. Oh, by the way, you have foot massagers there. Okay, Donna Sebo here. We've got our first caller for the afternoon. Hi, welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. I'm E from University Place.
Hi, E. Well, that's University Place in Washington, I believe.
Yes.
All right. So delighted that you're calling in. Eve, the first thing that is coming into my mind is you are going to be very, very busy. Your hands are going to be very diligent in getting things done. I'm looking at some repair work. I'm looking at paperwork. I am looking at a lot of busy things that have to be completed so that you'll be freed up for this summer. And I think that this is a very important thing for you to be alert to. if you don't do what you know you need to do, and I'm seeing a long to-do list, if you don't get it all done prior to summer, you are going to not be a happy camper because you're not going to want to be bothered with it in fall because from the beginning of summer all the way through to the early part of spring of next year, you are going to be going a mile a minute. I'm seeing you feeling like you've blinked and that time will be just gone. And you're saying to yourself, I've got to be focused. I have to be very, very disciplined. And this is your time frame to take care of what I would call that, you know, the piddly-diddly stuff that you usually like to procrastinate on. Uh-uh. Don't do that. Take care of it now so it's out of the way, so it is behind you. You'll be very glad you did. By the way, I feel like there may be something bothering one of your sinuses, and it could be that you have been exposed to some kind of a pollen, something here, a dust, and you may want to check your vacuum cleaner. Your vacuum cleaner may not be picking up the dirt the way that you would like for it to. It's actually blowing it out. So it may be that appliance needs to be replaced or repaired. So check it out. I'm seeing you eventually buying an air purifier, and I think that you're going to be very glad that you did, but shop around. Make sure you really get what you want. What would you like to ask me today?
Well, you were right on with all of that.
Hey, how so?
I'm getting ready to move, so there's a lot of work to be done, and you know how you don't like to put off some of the things?
Oh, of course, but don't do it. Get that to-do list out, and if you can, put on, you know, Sousa's music, whatever it takes, you know, something that's really going to get you moving.
Okay, great. I'm calling really for my friend because he's lost his dog, Jaeger. His name is Matt, and he's lost his dog, Jaeger. He was in the yard, and then he just disappeared. He has flyers everywhere in the North End.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
McDonald's Northwest Women's Show is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. Hundreds of exhibits, 5 entertainment stages, and best of all, shopping. Hear Marianne Williamson, Oprah's expert on spiritual guidance, love, and miracles, and celebrity fitness guru and author Bob Green. March 23rd through 25th, 10 till 6 daily at Quest Field Event Center. McDonald's Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing. Show information at nwwomenshow.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, 877-876-5227 or 888-810-8322. I know we had something occur with the streaming where everything just suddenly disappeared, so I apologize to those of you who are listening. And what I had mentioned earlier in the show is that I was going to talk about chocolate. Now, you probably would expect me to talk about a recipe. Chocolate is one of those wonderful foods of the gods, as far as I'm concerned. And in its natural state, it's very bitter. Of course, you add sweetness to it, and it's just absolutely magnificent. Well, Wanda Rosalind of Circle, Montana, would agree with me that it is absolutely one of the sweetest things that you could ever want to have. She had a passion for chocolate. I mean, it didn't make any difference what form it was in, whether it was candy bars, hearts with marshmallow filling, M&M's, it didn't make any difference. But she said, my particular passion was dark, dark chocolate cake. And she'd say, oh, this is just wonderful. Well, as it turned out for her one day when she was enjoying an absolutely wonderful, finger-licking good amount of chocolate frosting on a cake, she was talking to a friend of hers, and her friend, and she said to her friend, well, how are you doing? And her friend said, lousy. And she said, well, why are you not feeling so good? She said, I had to give up sugar for Lent. And she said, oh, my goodness, what are you doing that for? And she said, well, you know what, it's just a tradition. You give up something you love so you can concentrate on something else. And, of course, Wanda was saying, boy, that would really, really be very difficult, giving up food of any kind. That just doesn't make sense to me at all. It would be like giving up air. Well, a friend started to tell her the first few days were really difficult when she'd give it up. And then after that, it would be sort of easy. Well, she thought, nah, that's something I wouldn't want to do. Well, when she went back after this phone call to eating her pieces of a yum, yum cake, she had something unusual occur to her. It's like there was a voice in her head saying, you should give up chocolate. And she thought, where did that thought come from? Chocolate? My goodness, it got her through the day. Then she said, I would have a piece of chocolate candy at breakfast. I'd always have a candy bar in my purse. Decided me over to lunch, and then she was always had to stop for afternoon tea. So she was really a chocoholic. And her husband said to her more than once, he said, you know, you can't live without it. You are really addicted to chocolate. And she said, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm not addicted to chocolate. So anyway, the thought of the conversation that she had with a girlfriend giving something up for Lynn, she said, okay, I'll just do it just to prove it to myself. And she said what she started to do was go around and find all of these hiding places. Yes, she had hiding places for all of her chocolate. She said it was in her sock drawer. It was all over the place. Chocolate chips in the freezer. She had jumbo sacks of M&Ms in the pantry. And she said, this urge, just to see if I could do what my girlfriend was doing. My girlfriend was giving up sugar. I had to give up chocolate. And she said, oh, my goodness, when I did this. And believe it or not, she dumped it all in the trash. Yes, she put it in a trash can. And so she said, all she could think about was chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. She was just absolutely fantasizing about it. And I have to chuckle because there's a picture of her here with this super-sized chocolate bar. I mean, this thing is huge. It's about 2 by 3 feet in size. And she said, I would just absolutely just fantasize about chocolate. I couldn't get rid of it. Well, her husband, on her first day that she was doing this, he noticed something was very, very wrong. And, of course, she responded, nothing. You could imagine the snarl, like upper lip curled, just because that's all she wanted was her chocolate. She said, I was going through withdrawal big time. She said, I got crabby. I would doze. She said, let's see, I think Lent lasts 40 days. How am I going to make it through 40 days? So she decided she was going to start doing some things she normally didn't do. One, she dug out a set of pillowcases to embroider. She took up chewing gum. She said she'd sing. She played her piano, anything to distract her from this overwhelming urge about chocolate. And she said, little by little, she began to see her body change. She didn't want it so much. And she said she had used chocolate in dessert recipes forever. So now she decided to switch. And she made angel food cake. She would use apples and oranges. And she said it just kept going on and on and on. But all of a sudden, she said she realized that the passion she'd had for chocolate was just really much bigger than it should have been. And so she said, I was able to bring it under control with this experiment. And she said, I really was amazed at how insignificant a piece of chocolate could really become. And chocolate, you know, medically, they say it's very good for you. It's got many health-preserving antioxidants and polyphenols, type of antioxidant, beneficial compounds to protect the body cells from damage and help maintain healthy cardiovascular functions. Cocoa butter, which is an ingredient in most dark chocolate, is comprised of oleic acid, which has been shown to lower both total and LDL cholesterol. And there's just so much other information regarding chocolate that is absolutely good stuff. But, you know, if you're sort of like Wanda, where it was the stuff of all life and joy and happiness, and she found that she could reverse that. I think it's a fun story. It's a good story, but it can remind us that sometimes we have these belief systems that can be replaced with other things, especially if we feel like they're controlling them, if they're controlling us too much. Well, I know we're almost out of time here, and it's been a delight to share the day with you, and thank you so much for being here. Don't forget, we have a fabulous guest tomorrow, Risa Brown, the Call to Brilliance, and then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Richard Smith. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Your sweetness in and of all by yourself. Enjoy the sweetness that life has to offer you. You know, it doesn't have any calories in it at all. Take care. I'll be talking to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.